Iliad, book 18. In book 16, Patroclus had been killed, and the news has just reached Achilles in this book. He cries, and his mother Thetis hears his loud cry and tells him not to fight until she's got him some new armour. Achilles' shout makes the Trojans panic, but Hector decides to fight Achilles the next day. Zeus congratulates Hera for making Achilles fight, after all, and then Thetis gets Hephaestus, the blacksmith god, to make some new armour for Achilles. So starting book 18. So they fought on like burning fire, and Antilochus, son of Nestor, came quick-footed with the news for Achilles. He found him in front of the horned ships. His mind was foreboding what had indeed come to pass, and in dismay he spoke to his own great heart. Oh, why are the long-haired Achaeans once more being driven in terror across the plain back to the ships? May it not be that the gods have brought that hateful sorrow on my heart that my mother once revealed to me, saying that while I still lived, the best of the Myrmidons would leave the light of the sun under the hands of the Trojans. It must surely be that Patroclus, the brave son of Menoetius, is now dead. Obstinate man! I told him to come back to the ships once he had driven away the enemy fire, and not face Hector in full fight. While he was pondering this in his mind and his heart, Antilochus, the son of proud Nestor, came up close to him, with his warm tears falling, and gave his painful message. O son of warrior Peleus, there is terrible news for you to hear, which I wish had never happened. Patroclus lies dead, and they are fighting over his body. It is naked now. Hector of the glinting helmet has his armour. So he spoke, and the black cloud of sorrow enveloped Achilles. He took up the sooty dust in both his hands and poured it down over his head, soiling his handsome face, and the black ashes settled all over his sweet-smelling tunic. And he lay there with his whole body sprawling in the dust, huge and hugely fallen, tearing at his hair and defiling it with his own hands. And the serving women that Achilles and Patroclus had won in war shrieked loud in their hearts' grief and ran out to flock round the warrior Achilles. All of them beat their breasts with their hands, and the strength collapsed from their bodies. And to one side, Antilochus mourned with his tears falling, and he held the hands of Achilles as his glorious heart groaned. He was afraid that Achilles might take a knife and cut his own throat. Achilles gave out a terrible cry, and his honoured mother Thetis heard him, where she sat by the side of her old father in the depths of the sea, and she wailed loud in response. And the goddesses gathered round her, all the daughters of Nereus who were there in the deep of the sea. There were Glauce and Thaleia and Cymodoce, Nisaia, Speo, Thoe and Oxide Halie, Cymothoe and Actaea and Limnorea, Melite, Eira, Amphithoe and Agave, Doto and Proto, and Ferusa, and Dynamene, Dexamene, and Amphinome, and Callianeira, Doris and Panope, and famous Galatea, Nemertes, and Apsudes, and Callianassa. And Clymene was there, and Ianeira, and Ianassa, Myra, and Orithia, and lovely-haired Amathea, and all the other daughters of Nereus who were there in the deep of the sea. The silvery cave filled with them, and they all beat their breasts together, while Thetis led the lamentation. Listen, Nereids, my sisters, so you can all hear and know the sorrows in my heart. Oh, my misery! Oh, the pain of being mother to the best of men! I bore a son who was to be noble and strong, the greatest of heroes, and he shot up like a young sapling. I tended him like a plant in the crown of a garden and sent him out with the beaked ships to Ilios to fight the Trojans. But now I shall never welcome him back to Peleus's house. There will be no homecoming. And yet all the time I have him alive and looking on the light of the sun, he is suffering, and I can give no help when I go to him. But even so, I shall go to see my dear child and hear what it is that has come to grieve him now that he is withdrawn from the fighting. So speaking, she left the cave, and the others went with her, full of tears, and the swell of the sea parted round them. When they reached the fertile land of Troy, one after another, they came up onto the shore, where the Myrmidons' ships were beached close crowded around swift Achilles. His honoured mother came and stood by him as he groaned heavily, and with a high wail she took her son's head in her arms and spoke winged words in sadness for him. Child, why are you crying? What pain has touched your heart? Tell me, do not hide it. Look, all that you asked has been brought about by Zeus, when you held out your hands and prayed that all the sons of the Achaeans should be penned back by the sterns of their ships through want of you, and be put to terrible suffering. With a heavy groan, swift-footed Achilles said to her, Mother, yes, the Olympian has done all this for me. But what pleasure can I take in it when my dear friend is killed? Patroclus, a man I honoured above all my companions as much as my own life. I have lost him, and Hector, who killed him, has stripped the huge armour from him, that lovely armour, wonderful to see, which the gods gave as a special gift to Peleus on the day when they brought you to a mortal man's bed. If only you had stayed in your home with the immortal goddesses of the sea, and Peleus had married a mortal wife. But as it is, there must now be countless sorrow for your heart too. For the death of a son you will never welcome back to his home, since my heart has no wish for me to live or continue among men, unless first Hector is struck down by my spear and loses his life and pays me the price for taking Patroclus, son of Menoetius. Then Thetis said to him, with her tears falling, Then, child, I must lose you to an early death, for what you are saying, since directly after Hector dies, your own doom is certain. Swift-footed Achilles answered her in great passion, Then let me die directly, since I was not to help my friend at his killing. He has died far away from his native land, and did not have me there to protect him from destruction. So now, since I shall not return to my dear native land, since I have not been a saving light to Patroclus or my many other companions who have been brought down by godlike Hector, but sit here by the ships, a useless burden on the earth. I, a man without equal among the bronze-clad Achaeans in war, though there are others better skilled at speaking. Oh, that quarrels should vanish from gods and men, and resentment, which drives even a man of good sense to anger. It is far sweeter to men than trickling honey, and swells to fill their hearts like smoke. Such is the anger that Agamemnon, lord of men, has caused me now. But all this is past, and we should let it be, for all our pain, forcing down the passion in our hearts. And now I shall go to find the destroyer of that dear life, Hector. And I shall take my own death at whatever time Zeus and the other immortal gods wish to bring it on me. Even the mighty Heracles could not escape death, and he was the dearest of men to Lord Zeus, son of Cronos. But fate conquered him, and the cruel enmity of Hera. So I too, if the same fate is there for me, will lie finished when I die. But now my wish is to win great glory, to make some of the deep-breasted Trojan and Dardanian women wipe the tears with both hands from their soft cheeks, and set them wailing loud, and have them learn that I have stayed too long now out of the fighting. And do not try to keep me from battle, though you love me. You will not persuade me. Then the silver-footed goddess Thetis answered him, "Yes, child, this is true. It is a good thing to save your stricken companions from stark destruction. But think, your fine armour of gleaming bronze is in the Trojans' possession, and Hector of the glinting helmet is glorying to wear it on his own shoulders. But I do not think that he will have his pride in it for long, as his own death is close on him. No, you must not enter the fray of war until you see me returned to you here in the morning at the sun's rising. I shall come, bringing you beautiful armour from Lord Hephaestus." So speaking, she turned away from her son, and facing her sisters of the sea, she said to them, "You now go back into the broad lap of the ocean to visit our father's house and the old man of the sea, and tell him everything. I shall go to High Olympus to Hephaestus, the famous craftsman, to see if he will give a glorious set of gleaming armour for my son." So she spoke, and her sisters quickly slipped down through the swell of the sea. And then Thetis, the silver-footed goddess, went on to Olympus to bring back glorious armour for her son. So her feet took her on her way to Olympus. And meanwhile, the Achaeans were running with tremendous clamour under murderous Hector's attack, and reached their ships and the Hellespont. And the well-grieved Achaeans would not now have been able to drag back the body of Patroclus, Achilles' lieutenant, out of the weapons' range, because once more the Trojan army and their horses caught up with it, and among them Hector, son of Priam, like a flame in his fury. 3 times glorious Hector caught it by the feet from behind, intent on dragging it away, and shouted loud to the Trojans. And 3 times the 2 Aiantes, the 2 Greeks both called Ajax, clothed in fighting spirit, battered him away from the corpse. But he stayed firm, sure of his power, sometimes charging into the crowd, sometimes standing his ground and shouting loud, and he would not give back at all. As country shepherds cannot chase a tawny lion away from a carcass when his hunger is great, so the 2 warrior Aiantes could not scare Hector, son of Priam, back from the corpse. And now he would have dragged it away and won boundless glory, if swift Iris, with feet quick as the wind, had not come running from Olympus to tell the son of Peleus, Achilles, to arm himself. Hera had sent her, unknown to Zeus and the other gods. She came close and spoke winged words to him. "Up, Achilles, son of Peleus, most formidable of all men, and go to defend Patroclus. There is a terrible battle joined over him in front of the ships, and they're killing each other, the Achaeans fighting in defence of the dead body, and the Trojans charging in to pull it away to windy Ilios. And above all, glorious Hector is urgent to drag the body off. His fury presses him to cut the head away from its soft neck and fix it on the stakes of the palisade. Up then, no more staying here inactive. Shame should touch your heart that Patroclus could become the sport of the Trojan dogs. It will be your disgrace if he goes down to the dead, mutilated. Then swift-footed godlike Achilles answered her, Iris, goddess, which of the gods was it that sent you with this message for me? Then swift Iris, with feet quick as the wind, said to him, It was Hera that sent me, the glorious wife of Zeus, but the son of Kronos, who sits on high, knows nothing of this, nor any other of the immortals who live on snowy Olympus. Then swift-footed Achilles answered her, How then am I to enter the fighting? The enemy have my armour, and my dear mother has told me not to arm myself until I see her returned to me here. She promised to bring me beautiful armour from Hephaestus, and I do not know any other whose glorious armour I could wear, except perhaps the shield of Aias, son of Telamon. But he is there himself, I'm sure, keeping company with the front ranks and fighting with his spear over the body of Patroclus. Then swift Iris, with feet quick as the wind, said to him, Yes, we know too that your glorious armour is in enemy hands, but go to the ditch as you are and show yourself to the Trojans, so they might be terrified at the sight of you and hold off their fighting. And the warrior sons of the Achaeans gain relief in their weariness. There is little respite in war. So speaking, swift-footed Iris left him, and Achilles, loved of Zeus, rose up. And Athene wrapped the tasselled aegis about his powerful shoulders, and close round his head the queen among goddesses set a golden cloud, and made a flame burn from it, gleaming bright. As when the smoke rises up from a city to reach the sky, from an island in the distance, where enemies are attacking and the inhabitants run the trial of hateful Ares all day long, fighting from their city, and then with the setting of the sun, the light from the line of beacons blazes out, and the glare shoots up high for the neighbouring islanders to see, in the hope that they will come across in their ships to protect them from disaster. Such was the light that blazed from Achilles' head up into the sky. He went out from the wall and stood at the ditch, but did not go further to join the Achaeans, respecting his mother's firm command. There he stood and shouted. And away to one side, Pallas Athene raised her cry, and his shout started a mighty terror in the Trojans. As when the voice of a trumpet cries out sharp and clear, when murderous enemies are surrounding a city, so then Achilles' voice carried clear and loud. And when the Trojans heard the brazen shout of Achilles, all their hearts were shaken in fear. Even the lovely maned horses sensed danger in their hearts and began to pull their chariots round. And the charioteers were terrified when they saw the tireless fire that burned fearfully over the head of the great-hearted son of Peleus, Achilles, kindled there by the bright-eyed goddess Athene. 3 times godlike Achilles gave his great shout across the ditch, and 3 times the Trojans and their famous allies were thrown into turmoil. There and then, 12 of their best men were killed by their own chariots or their own spears. And then the Achaeans gladly took their chance to drag Patroclus out of the weapons' range and place him on a litter. His dear companions gathered round in mourning for him, and swift-footed Achilleus went with them, his warm tears falling when he saw his trusted friend lying there on the bier, torn by the sharp bronze, a friend he had sent out to war with his horses and chariot, and could not welcome back on his return. Now the ox-eyed Queen Hera sent the tireless sun hurrying down against his will to the stream of Ocean. So the sun set, and the godlike Achaeans could stop the furious struggle of levelling war. And the Trojans too, on their side, withdrew from the fury of battle and unyoked their fast horses from the chariots, then gathered in assembly before seeing to their supper. But they kept standing for the assembly, and none had the courage to sit down. All of them were gripped by terror now that Achilleus had appeared after long absence from the cruel fighting. The first to speak was Polydamas in his wisdom, the son of Panthous, the only man among them with eyes for both past and future. He was a companion of Hector, the two of them born in the same night, but Polydamas was far the better with words, as Hector was better with the spear. In all goodwill he spoke and addressed the assembly. "Think very carefully, friends. I advise you to return to the city now and not wait for the holy dawn out here in the plain by the ships, this far from our city wall. As long as this man kept up his anger against godlike Agamemnon, the Achaeans were easier to fight, and I too was glad to be camping close by their fast fleet in the hope of capturing the balanced ships. But now I am terribly afraid of Achilleus, the swift-footed son of Peleus. Such is the violence of his spirit, he will not be content to stay here in the plain, where the Trojans and Achaeans have been sharing between them the fury of battle on middle ground, but he will be making the fight for our city and our women. No, let us go back to the city. Believe me, it will be as I say. For the moment, immortal night has stopped Achilles, the swift-footed son of Peleus. But if he catches us out here tomorrow and comes against us in armed strength, then no one will fail to be aware of him. We will be glad to reach sacred Ilios, those of us who escape, and the dogs and vultures will have many Trojans to feed on. May my ears never hear of such a thing. But if we follow my advice, hard though it is, we will keep our forces for the night in the marketplace, and the city will be guarded safe by the walls, and the high gateways with the great doors of plain timber joined tight and fitting closely in them. Then, early in the morning, before the showing of dawn, we will arm in our weapons and take posts along the walls. Then it will be the worse for Achilleus if he comes out from the ships and tries to fight us for the wall. He will be on his way back again to the ships when he has exhausted his strong-necked horses with constant running, chasing up and down below the city walls. His fury will not enable him to break inside, and he will never sack our city. Before that, the quick-running dogs will eat him." Then Hector of the glinting helmet scowled at him and said, "Polydamas, what you say now is not to my liking, telling us to go back and coop ourselves in the city. Have you not all had your fill of being shut up inside our walls? Before now, all mortal men would speak of Priam's city as rich in gold and rich in bronze, and now this great treasure has vanished from our houses, and many of our possessions have been sold and gone to Phrygia or lovely Maeonia, after great Zeus's anger fell on us. But now, when the son of devious-minded Cronos has granted me glory won by the ships, and the Achaeans penned back against the sea, this is no time, fool, to put these thoughts of yours before the people. None of the Trojans will take your advice. I shall not let them. No, come, let us all do as I say. Now you should take your supper at your posts throughout the army. Remember to set guards, and every one of you stay awake. And any Trojan who is too much concerned for his possessions can gather them up and give them to the people for common use. Better that one of us enjoys them rather than the Achaeans. Then, early in the morning, before the showing of dawn, let us arm in our weapons and wake war's anger by the hollow ships. And if it is true that godlike Achilles has stirred from the ships, then yes, it will be the worse for him if that is what he tries. I shall not run from him in the grim clash of war, but stand to face him direct, and see if he wins a great victory, or I win it myself. The god of war takes no sides, and can kill the one who hopes to kill. So Hector spoke, and the Trojans roared in approval. The fools! Pallas Athene had taken away their wits. They applauded Hector and his disastrous plan, and not one of them supported Polydamas, who had given them good advice. So then they took their supper throughout the army. Meanwhile, the Achaeans mourned all night long in lamentation for Patroclus.